Welcome to this podcast on polycystic ovarian syndrome. My name is Dr. Sandra Cabot. I've been a medical doctor for over 40 years. Today I'm joined by my naturopath, Victoria Taylor. Hi, Victoria.
Good afternoon, Sandra. How are we going to go with this afternoon?
Well, I think that people will enjoy this podcast because a lot of women who have polycystic ovaries feel a bit different or a bit isolated or a bit weird, or they're very anxious that perhaps they're infertile. But we're going to reassure them that actually you can overcome it using holistic medicine in the vast majority of cases, the vast majority. And also that it's incredibly common. A lot of women have polycystic ovarian syndrome. It's not always diagnosed correctly because there are other reasons why women may not get their menstrual periods regularly. And also there is a large variation in the type of polycystic ovarian syndrome. So it's a bit of a spectrum.
Oh, okay. So you go from... So can you explain that spectrum to me? I mean, in my research, in my clinical research, I've noticed that there have been so many more women with period problems, but I would like you to, you know, explain more the spectrum concept.
Yeah, that's it. It's very important because a lot of people erroneously think that any woman or all women with polycystic ovarian syndrome, let's call it PCOS. It's a mouthful. PCOS, yes. Is going to be our acronym for polycystic ovarian syndrome, PCOS. Now, a lot of women think that you can't have PCOS unless you are very overweight and you have a lot of facial hair and bad acne and are very infertile. Well, that's far from the truth, because some women with polycystic ovarian syndrome can be nice and slim and they may not have severe acne. But a slim woman with PCOS will not have a regular menstrual bleeding, and also they may not start menstruating until they're older. For example, they may not get their first menstrual period until they're 18 or even 19. And this is where it's important to do blood tests to check for other more serious reasons why you are not getting your menstrual periods at a typical age for puberty. For example, the average woman starts to menstruate around the age of 13 or 14. Now, on the spectrum of PCOS, you can have women who are very overweight, indeed morbidly obese, and who are very, very hairy, what we call hirsute. They can have severe acne and they can be very masculine in appearance. And then in between, we've got women who are just a little bit overweight and have mild acne. So there's a broad spectrum of symptoms and signs that can present to the doctor. And the way we diagnose PCOS is by doing a blood test, and we can see that there is no evidence of premature menopause. We often find that the testosterone levels are elevated. And we also will do a pelvic ultrasound scan, which may or may not show ovarian cysts. So your ovaries can look completely normal and you can still have PCOS. So really, we go on the symptoms. If you're not getting a regular menstrual period or your onset of menstruation, what we call menarche, is very delayed, then it's most likely that it's PCOS. We exclude a pituitary tumour or premature menopause, but failing that, it's a presentation of PCOS.
Now, do all women who have PCOS, do they all have elevated testosterone?
Yes, they will have. It may only be slightly elevated. In some women, particularly those who are very overweight, It can be grossly elevated, more akin to the levels of testosterone we'll see in males.
So this is a similar situation to where we see people with abdominal weight gain, and they will also tend to have raised testosterone. Does testosterone become lowered if you actually reduce your body size, if you start losing weight? Yes,
generally that's true, Victoria. And I often motivate overweight women who have excessive testosterone by telling them that if they eat less carbohydrate, their testosterone levels will go down, therefore improving their acne and their hairiness.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And conversely, if they eat more carbohydrate, then their testosterone level will go up and their hairiness and their acne will get worse. And then they think, oh, that's one good reason to change the type of foods that I eat. So I think an important point for women with PCOS to understand is that if you're not overweight and you have PCOS, you don't need to go on a low-carbohydrate diet. You just need a healthy diet.
A very healthy diet,
yeah.
Because that is still, whether you've got weight or no weight problems, a good, balanced, nutritionally sound diet is still going to increase your fertility if that is your goal.
And improves the function of your endocrine system, such as your pituitary gland and your ovaries, so that you are more likely to have a regular ovulation. Mm-hmm. For example, eating avocados that are very high in vitamin E, that would help you to ovulate more regularly. And eating fruits and vegetables that are high in vitamin C, because that vitamin is stored in the adrenals and the pituitary gland. And, you know, it really is the pituitary gland via the hypothalamus that regulates the menstrual cycle. And so for most women with PCOS, the best treatment is natural progesterone, which we prescribe in a cream in a strength of 5% to 10%. Some women will get regular menstruation with the 5% cream. More severe cases will need a 10% strength. And using that cream will eventually bring on a regular menstrual bleed and therefore restore normal fertility. So very, very simple. And you don't have to go on the oral contraceptive pill unless you need contraception. I think that's an important point. A lot of women get confused on that.
Yes, because they're completely different. Now, we've also found that introducing progesterone into this mix does raise fertility quite dramatically and quite quickly, to many people's surprise, I might say.
That's right. We always say, now remember, progesterone is not a contraceptive, it's the opposite.
Absolutely. It's a conceptive inducer.
It is.
Yes.
Yes, we've had a lot of women conceive with natural progesterone. It's such a simple, easy, safe fix. But in Australia, you need a doctor's prescription. In the United States, so you can just get it over the counter.
Wow.
Yeah, because I think there they realise that it's very, very safe.
Yes.
Mm. And let's talk about the example where a woman with PCOS is on the other end of the spectrum. They are very overweight and their level of testosterone is very, very high. Now, in that case, to help them lose weight, sometimes we need to lower their testosterone, not just by reducing the amount of carbohydrates they eat, but by giving them a medication called ciproterone, which blocks testosterone. And that requires a doctor's prescription. And it's a very good medication. It's been around for many, many years, probably 50 years, and it can be used effectively in women to lower the testosterone level and therefore reduce facial hair, reduce acne, and to help with weight loss. The only precaution is you must not fall pregnant when you're using ciproterone, because its anti-male hormone effects will feminise a male fetus. Mm. So you will need to use contraception. There you go. And the other thing we should mention is that if you're on natural progesterone, you don't need to take the contraceptive pill unless you need contraception. And there's also no point taking natural progesterone if you're on the contraceptive pill because it won't work. The contraceptive pill will block the beneficial effects of the natural progesterone.
Yes.
So these are pearls of wisdom for the ladies out there with the PCOS. And now, Victoria, with the diet, you know, in women who have PCOS, we need to talk about the best foods to help to get their insulin down. And I recently just saw two young women, they were teenagers, one was 14, one was about 18, they were both morbidly obese, you know, body mass index over 40. They were very unhealthy, they had high insulin levels, testosterone levels very, very high, high leptin levels, you know, their hunger hormones were completely out of whack. One of these teenage girls was having to wax her face every week. You know, it's not a normal situation, and it's something that needs to be remedied. And, you know, a lot of young women really don't understand that it's not how much they're eating so much, it's what they're eating.
Well, exactly right. And, I mean, that's quite horrifying.
Mm.
But to be quite candid, I would actually say the most important change to the diet initially is to eat no processed food. If a food comes with a nutrition label, you don't eat it.
That's a good simple point, yeah, because it's going to have additives.
That's exactly right. You can't get you can buy a loaf of bread, you know, a sourdough loaf of bread at the baker's. As soon as it comes in a plastic bag, it's got a nutrition label. All your processed food, even your frozen veggies have got a nutrition label. Fresh vegetables, good quality protein, butte fats, fats mean flavour, and non-carbonated drinks.
Well, what about carbonated waters, all right?
Oh, carbonated water.
Soda water.
Soda water. Soda water with lemon juice and a little bit of Nature Sweet. That's a good way to wean yourself off soft drinks.
Some
and
lemon
it actually
juice
tastes
too.
Beautiful. Yes.
Mm, lemon juice. Yeah, Nature Sweet is a natural sweetener.
That's right.
With stevia and other plant extracts, and it's got zero carbs, and it tastes much better than stevia by itself.
Oh, yes, and it's far less toxic than sucralose or aspartame.
Oh,
They're just...
Well, it's not toxic at all, but
no.
Aspartame is.
Yes.
Matter of fact, we've recently had a case where one of our patients had paralysis of the nerve that supplies the upper eyelid from drinking 10 cans of a diet soda every day.
That's horrifying.
It's very neurotoxic.
But there's also the discussion that perhaps Michael J. Fox has Parkinson's disease as a direct relationship to his sponsorship from PepsiCo, and he was drinking up to 2 litres of Diet Pepsi per day.
Wow.
Yes.
Yes, it is addictive, that aspartame. Now, when it comes to carbohydrate, women who have PCOS who are overweight have a problem with carbohydrates. They don't metabolise them. They turn them into fat, not into energy. So we really need to avoid carbohydrates that will spike our insulin. Well, so what things should they avoid?
Well, the carbohydrates to be avoided, depending on your level of weight, would be definitely gluten-containing grains. And if you need to lose a considerable amount of weight, I would be saying all grains, and to initially even quinoa and buckwheat. Probably the only flour I would recommend would be lupin flour.
Where does lupin flour come from?
Comes from a lupin seed. It's ground up lupin seeds, and lupins are actually quite unusual. They've got a good level of protein, quite good fat, but instead of having a lot of starch in the seed, it actually has a lot of fibre. So it doesn't provide a lot of starch that can be broken down into sugars.
What about that grain-free flour and grain-free bread that you can buy?
Well, the grain-free mixes and the grain-free bread that you can buy from the protein bread company, I have it every day. I just love it. And it has almond flour, flaxseed meal, and lupin flour.
Does it?
Yes.
Ah,
yes.
So lupin is a seed?
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
It's a legume seed.
Do they have chia in it too?
Oh, that does have chia in it, and people can have chia. You can
and
make
hemp flour is excellent.
Beautiful. Hemp protein, yes.
Yes, hemp. Oh, they don't have flour? Hemp?
Well, they call it hemp protein. There's all these beautiful hemp products. There's the hemp seeds, hemp seed oil, which is just divine, as a skin oil or a will be legally soon a dietary oil, or the hemp protein, which until it's made legal, you have to use to make dog biscuits. But, It's just the way it
it's
is
funny
until
how you
the
share
end of
treats
this month.
With your dog.
Oh yes.
Anyway, I think that you know if people would understand, they could replace the grains with the seeds and nuts. Lentils are good; they're low in carbohydrate. If you find that you want something spicy, you can have curried lentils or dal. But you really need to avoid the wheat, rye, barley, oats, rice. If you're wanting to get that insulin down.
Oh, you've got to get rid of those. Starchy vegetable also, even just initially until your weight and your liver are nice and healthy, even sweet potato. If you find that you can't resist these foods completely, then limit them to once a fortnight. Once a fortnight is not going to sink the ship. But we've got to get the ship afloat first, don't we?
Yes. And then introducing some starchy vegetables like pumpkin and carrot and sweet potato.
Yes.
It's good because they have a lot of vitamin A, but you want to get your weight down before you're eating a lot of those types of vegetables.
Okay. I don't tend to consider carrots as a starchy food simply because their nutritional value is far too high.
They're nice roasted. Carrots are yummy.
They're
roasted.
Yummy raw, and they take a lot of time to eat, so you can chumble your way through the day eating carrots. And look, they've got a similar sugar profile, if you like, carbohydrate profile. It's not much more than strawberries. So
really?
They don't have that much starch.
Yeah, and they're anti-cancer.
Yes.
They're good for your liver. And, of course, your liver's very important when you've got a hormone imbalance, such as PCOS, because you've got too much estrogen relative to progesterone, so we call that estrogen dominance. And if you're really overweight, then your fat is producing estrogen and your liver needs to break it down. And if your liver's fatty, which it often is in overweight people, then you're going to get a build-up of dangerous estrogens such as estrone, and that will increase your risk of breast cancer and uterine cancer. And so it's very, very important to have a healthy liver, so we want you to take a good liver formula, a good liver tonic, and we also want you to eat leafy green salads. And what are some of the good salad vegetables and types of lettuces that can help people with sluggish liver function?
Now, I have to show my bias here. I just love bitter foods, so the endive, radicchio, lettuce are better for your whole body, especially for your liver, to sort of get it all sparked up, than your butter lettuce, iceberg and cos lettuce.
Yeah.
That bitter food.
What are
really
those beautiful
sparkling
lettuce you're growing in the back of the office?
They're the radicchio lettuce.
Oh, the ones with the really big leaves.
The ones with the big leaves and the nice bitter flavour.
Yes, because you put in, you know, tomatoes and grated carrot and a bit of grated beetroot to make it taste
definitely
sweet and sour, or sweet and bitter.
Sweet and bitter. Mm. I mean, beetroot would have the same, a half again more than your carrot. So you don't cut it out because look at all those beautiful anthocyanidins, you know, the colours. Now, beautiful colour.
They lower leptin,
polyphenols. But what you do,
The beetroot.
You just don't have that much beetroot. If you're going to have, you know, a carrot a day, then you would have a quarter, a third of a beetroot. It's not excluding these kinds of foods. It's just creating a reasonable portion so that, you know, they still have calories, and calories do count.
Yeah. And you can have some organic apple cider vinegar in the middle of your meal, because we know that acidic substances help to lower insulin after you've eaten.
Well, you can actually use your apple cider vinegar as your salad dressing. You can use it as the acid part of your dressing with some best quality
olive oil.
Extra virgin olive oil.
Yeah.
Which would be, or your hemp seed oil once it's legal at the end of the month.
Yes. Oh, at the end of the month. Well, it's legal everywhere else except for Australia.
Australia and New Zealand are the only places in Australia that are so backward that it's still illegal.
Yes. Okay. Well, look, thanks for listening to our podcast on PCOS. And feel free to email us with any questions. We also have a book that covers PCOS. It's called Don't Let Your Hormones Ruin Your Life. So that's all from now from Dr. Sandra Cabot and naturopath Victoria Taylor.
Bye-bye for now.